Welcome to SFH Presents, the One and a Third podcast with your host, Zach Polk.
I like that too, but I do like, you know, animation titties. Oh, that everyone has someone in their life that deals with the shit that I deal with.
And featuring Tyler Southern.
You want me to rub your feet? You want me to get the bath running? Something? Can I help you relax?
Now turn that shit up.
Just a reminder, we are not medical professionals. We're just a couple of dudes like to explore mental health a little bit, talk to some survivors or friends, whatever, man. Today we have some, Lance is really knocking it out of the park, by the way. Lance is really kicking on guests on a regular basis.
Finder.
Yeah, he's fantastic. So Lance led us to Tiana and Keith Hale. I know very little about them. He posted me part of a bio and it sounds like they've been through hell, which I'm like, perfect. Let's talk about it. So, why are you guys still fucking here?
You go ahead. You're just talking.
Guess we're here to still make a difference wherever we can.
I love it. So you've been
in each day.
What little I've seen is, you've been through, both been through a lot of health issues, surgeries, kind of things been going on over there.
What all is happening?
Well, Keith's had issues since 2010. He was hurt in Iraq.
I say it was a bad year for getting hurt in other countries.
I told y'all it wouldn't last long. We lost him already. But he did two tours in Iraq, he has PTSD. He has a brain injury and nerve injury to one of his right leg and everything. And he has nightmares right now, like even with a nap every single day, but even like 5 minutes into a nap, he's screaming.
God.
He beats himself up over it, but
What was the mechanism of injury in Iraq?
Which one?
So he was injured more than once.
Well, the first deployment, they had went under a bridge, and they had caught it or something, and they blew the bridge up over them. One of them. That was the first deployment, and then the second deployment, they were going into spiker fob or fob spike. I don't know.
Not the right. The one. Second one, forward operating base spiker. No.
But I don't know exactly what happened, but there was issues outside of it before they got onto the base or whatever, and they went to jump out the back of the MRAP. And he doesn't remember jumping out of the back of it. And they went to pull him up and he didn't have any feeling in his leg and all that kind of stuff. And he was coming off convoys, you know, halting them and puking and stuff like that. And just kept on. He coined the name Dead Leg and he just kept on. He still goes by it sometimes.
Heck yeah. So he just kept pushing through.
Do what?
He just kept pushing through the deployment after that injury?
Yeah, they were getting close to like wrapping up. I mean, he went and saw the doc. What I remember of it is we got to Skype, you know, like.
Yeah.
That sort of thing. And he'd say, do you see what's wrong? I can't even wiggle my toes. What do I do? You know, I'm like, the medic had pulled him up and said, shake it off, you know. So he was trying to shake it off, but he still couldn't use his leg or anything, you know. And so
how the hell is he doing normal daily things without a leg? That's crazy.
I mean, he has his legs on there.
Still, but it just hurts.
It just hurts really
okay,
bad.
Okay, I was gonna say, is there mobility though, or is he dragging it around?
Depends on the day. It cramps up real bad. He's got a lot of nerve injury in there. He's got a morphine pump now and everything. And
all right, hey,
So that helps a lot.
Yeah, I was going to say, morphine's the only one that works anymore. Whenever I have to go through any surgeries, I still need to do, which end up just being infections. I have nothing else on the docket. But I've grown tolerances or my body fights a lot of them now.
Yeah.
But morphine's the only one still that makes all the ouch stop ouching.
Yeah, it has been one of the best things to happen to us. And I don't mean he was on, they had him on fentanyl and oxycodone at the same time. And it was a bad time in our life. It was not a good time. Really.
That's infuriating, actually, that they had him on both of those at the same time.
Yeah. And so, I mean,
it's a complicated position to be in when you're going through so much pain that they have to prescribe something like that in order to try to give you some relief, knowing the dangers and side effects of those types of things.
He even still today, he'll have really bad pain days, but he'll be in so much pain that he's throwing up, you know, just because it hurts, you know.
I've been there. Yeah.
And I know you understand. I mean,
oh yeah, no, like yeah, nerve pain didn't rear its ugly head at me until like it let me get used to everything first, which was super cool. Like at one point, they were going to do a study on me because I was 2 years out and didn't have nerve pain yet. But literally in the next couple months after my 2 year anniversary, my body was like, all right, cool. You're used to it. Here you go. And it was just like, oh, ow. Okay. What's up? Like,
thanks a lot.
Ow. My foot. Oh, my foot. like
what? Why?
Yeah. Why? I appreciate my brain for doing that. That was super cool. Like if you're going to give it to me, at least hold off a minute so I can get used to being oddly shaped for a couple years first. But, pot has been one of the biggest things for my nerve pain.
Absolutely.
I was going to say, has he dabbled in any of that, or does hold a position where that won't be possible?
He has. And I mean, it was a lot for me as the caregiver and seeing, you know, what we had been through and that sort of thing. And it was really hard for me to accept that's something we could try, you know.
Yeah,
but
it's had a stigma attached to it for quite some time. Yes.
I went to a past, present, future webinar, whatever thing, and really learned, you know, the ins and outs. It wasn't a webinar; it was in person because we got to go. Okay. Actually behind the scenes, like into the grow house, and we got to see the lab. They test everything and how they do it here in Florida and that sort of thing. And so we talked to his doctor and said, let's give it a try. And I mean, it has helped so much in our lives. And it's hard for me to talk about because I don't think it's a solution for everybody.
No, I agree.
Especially our young kids that are getting a hold of it and using it more recreationally. But medically, it has been a game changer for us. I don't know that he would still be here if it didn't come into our life.
Yeah. And I was, at no point am I advocating for just everyone to play around with it. And recreationally versus medicinally, obviously.
I have no problem with recreation for adults, but there's definitely scientific proof that in a developing brain, which typically is before 21 for females and 25 for males, it keeps synapses open that are supposed to close. It causes all kinds of problems.
Yeah.
So it's definitely not good for young people.
Technically, like drinking, it shouldn't be a thing until you're 21.
Right.
But drinking's more poisonous to your system than anything else is anyways. Right. But yeah, I agree entirely. Recreationally, when you're an adult and obviously responsibly, just like with alcohol or anything else, you know, don't make sure you're not driving or anything. But yeah, the big game changer was when I finally got off of the whole stigma of it. That was like, oh my God, what if I tell people I'm using marijuana? Yeah. And the only person who judgy's not the right word. The only person I was worried to tell, she's cool now. But at first it wasn't so great. Gateway's this and you're going to end up on that, or, you know, it's just, you know, it's not that. And I'm like, yeah, but all these medications they're going to put me on are just chemical, all mashed together. That can't be better than this plant that's actually helping.
It's funny how if it's prescribed by a doctor, then people think that it's okay, when it's been proven that so many of those drugs are addictive and, in fact, gateways. I mean, Oxy, for one, has led to probably the majority of heroin users in our country.
Oh.
So it's like it's just kind of a bunch of propaganda and nonsense that held it down. But there's still people that don't react, adults that don't react well to pot. It can cause psychosis. People showing up at hospitals with problems. It's not that it's completely free of danger, but compared to alcohol, compared to a lot of pharmaceuticals, it's pretty fucking safe. And it does.
The number of medications we've been able to come off of because of it, and for it to be natural, there, you know, one of the seizure medications caused liver failure in England, and just the side effects from the medications that we had to deal with, you know, back and forth and trying to find that balance, you know.
Yeah.
The whole war in itself, you know.
Yeah, right. Sometimes that fine print where they're like, may cause night blindness and explosive diarrhea, like just the longest list ever. I'm like, what is it curing? Runny nose. Like, like, trust me, I'd rather my nose running than anything else running.
Right.
Like, well, and once you start getting prescribed shit, it's so easy to go down the rabbit hole where they're going, okay, well, this gives you erectile dysfunction, so you need to take this drug, but it's going to raise your blood pressure, so you need to take this drug. And next thing you know, you're popping 18 pills a day to try to compensate for all the shit.
You're calling me out right now.
Morphine and clonidine in his pump, in his back, that goes like in his spinal cord. And it keeps his blood pressure low and everything. It's amazing. He don't have to touch anything. If he needs a little bolus, he just handles it. He has a little remote control and
nice.
Hell yeah. I'm so glad that's happening.
Yeah.
It doesn't cause like any kind of head high or, you know, like it's literally just pain relief. It's not.
Well, yeah. If it's going directly into the spine, yeah, he's definitely not getting a buzz.
No, he's not getting any.
Yeah, I was just, yeah, that was such a
fine balance too, is to find that relief without him being completely out of it. And
because there was a couple along the way that would do what it needed to do by way of pain relief, mm-hmm. but then I was stuck in the mud or in just a foggy ass haze or just a weird shell of myself, and I'm like, I'd rather be in pain than be this weird version of me before we moved on and landed on different things that worked. And then the physical withdrawals off the stuff that they put me on. Oh my God. Like, ooh. I'm just doing it. I get why people fight getting off of stuff once they're hooked on it, because stuff that I didn't take by my own accord got me physically addicted. And the withdrawals were just a freaking nightmare. Blow me up again, please. Like, don't make me go through withdrawals again. Burn me, stab me, shoot me. Do not make me go through withdrawals again. Yuck.
Wow.
Grown men, you know.
I got down to 98 pounds.
God dang.
Could drown yourself in my clavicle.
And just like men's mental health, how it carries such a stigma, I feel it's the exact same thing when it comes to like going through withdrawals, getting off drugs, or being on pharmaceuticals and being able to accept the fact that you're not in control of it anymore.
Man, you know that you've got a problem,
right? It's a lot, man. It's a lot to introduce somebody to when they're already going through something so significant.
Yeah.
Have you guys by any chance tried the stellate ganglion block, the SGB shot for his PTSD?
We haven't yet. We've been working with Lance and everything, mm-hmm. but his neurologist hasn't given him clearance yet. Yes. So okay.
All right.
He's on a BiPAP and that sort of thing. So we're trying to get all that kind of stuff taken care of.
Yeah, I wouldn't think it would be that they'd be that fearful of it, because it's not a, there's no drugs actually introduced into the system.
Yeah.
It's just a freezing of a nerve cluster, and then the nerve cluster comes back online.
They were saying something about the actual procedure with him having seizures.
Yeah.
Them to be under better control.
Okay.
Yeah, before I was gonna say, they'll that makes
administer the injection because of where it goes.
Yeah, it makes sense.
That's what we're at.
Well, that would be really cool, because
but
I know
we are working on it. We're heading in that direction. So
that's great.
Yeah, that would get from all the reviews I've gotten from the people who've taken that thing, that'd be one less thing on his freaking plate. Because right? I mean, the stuff that Lance still has to deal with ends up being so minimal in comparison to what he was dealing with before.
Yeah.
He the first time he slept 8 hours in 18 years was after he got the shot.
We don't know what that would be like. Honestly don't know what that would be like.
You'd be doing sternum rubs. You'd check his pulse every couple hours to make sure he wasn't gone.
I used to sleep with a pulse ox on him. And I mean, his oxygen would drop so low, you know, I would get so nervous that he wasn't going to wake up. I mean, with the amount of medications he was on and everything, you know.
Yeah. And then how can the caregiver rest if you're constantly worrying when he's resting?
Yeah. It's like, they always tell you to sleep when the baby sleeps. And I'm like, my baby screams the entire time he's sleeping. How am I supposed to sleep?
He is battling things while he's doing that.
Oh no.
He'll be upset. He was like, I don't know why I'm so exhausted. I'm like,
you were real tense.
Your body. The whole time you're sleeping. You're at war all night long.
You can't hold a flex for a long time and wake up feeling refreshed.
Yeah. Like, that's not... like
I've had
people... ran like three marathons. I wouldn't feel very rested the next day either.
I've had periods of time where I really had, where sleep eluded me to an uncomfortable amount. And you start to go a little loony. Like, to wonder if you're ever going to sleep again. How did you ever sleep before? Like, it's a lot, man, to go through all that at one time. I think it's a shame how so many people consider themselves patriotic, and especially when it comes to soldiers, and how easily once you're out of uniform and back in civilian life, when you're going through terrible things, that the general public seems to just kind of forget. Yeah. You know, we hear about it, but
or tell you to suck it up.
Right. Yeah. It's a lot, man, but that goes hand in hand with the whole mental health thing, is where it still carries such a stigma where if people can't see an injury, everyone can look at you and see that you're missing limbs, but when you can't see it, people have a hard time believing it is what it is, because they've never experienced it. And I find that even with depression, where people think I can just go for a walk in the sun and raise my chin and everything's going to be good. And I'm like, if it were that fucking easy, you don't think I'd do that every day? It's much more than that.
Well, that just comes down to the age old, why don't you just brighten up? Or, you know, the husband with the, why don't you just calm down? Like, oh, that's a good way to get shot in the chest plate. why don't you just smile more? And I'm just like, hey, the chemical imbalance in my brain is the problem. Like, it's not my outlook on it, I assure you.
Right. Yeah,
tell your wife to calm down.
If people can't see it, they think that it's something you should just be able to defeat with willpower, and it's not that simple, man.
That's just people who don't. I mean, I was one of them. I mean, I was a layman. I was not introduced to anxiety or depression until later on. My now ex-wife, not because of her anxiety, but she had anxiety. And my whole thing was always just like, just calm down, draw a bath. Like, it wasn't always just calm down. I wasn't that type of an idiot, but it was like, you know, like trying to set the scene, like get a bath going. I'll rub your feet. We'll do this. We'll do that. We'll, you know, get you some tea. And then I was just like, oh, wait, that's almost gaslighting too, because none of that is going to help. It's not that. Like, you're just going to be sitting in the bath shaking. So it took being introduced personally to anxiety and depression before I was like, oh, yeah, take a walk on the beach ain't going to help much.
Yeah,
like, I'll just be sad in a very pretty setting.
Exactly. And then you end up getting more upset with yourself that how am I sad when I'm out here because this is beautiful and I should feel something.
You start trying to rationalize with yourself. You're just like, oh, God. Oh, God, I am broken. What is the matter for me? And yes. Preach.
That's what when Keith would get just really, really, upset, it he'd say, I just don't want to be a burden to anybody, he's
like, yep.
I signed up.
I feel that. I understand.
I'm here on purpose, man. whip out that left hand all the time. I'm here on purpose, dude.
But I tell you, I tried to empathize as much as I could, as a caregiver and, that sort of thing. But until, I had my own issues, I didn't know. I tried to do the best I could, but until I was in a boat, not even his boat, but in a similar boat, I still didn't understand. And to understand it in a whole different level. I'm going to fight to my dying breath to help other people going through this. And I can't let the stigma around it stop me anymore.
Absolutely. Yeah. I was going to say something about the caregiver fatigue and stuff, because most people don't realize that, the nurse or the wife or whoever's taking the kid who's got to take care of the elder, whoever it is, you've got to take the time to also take care of yourself, or you're going to run yourself into the ground trying to take care of this person. And then it's just like, well, they signed up for it. They're not the one. They're just helping. And I'm just like, yeah, try it for any amount of time. I dare you. Try to help somebody like that with that level of involvement. Yeah. And mental, all kinds of stuff is going to go into the caregiver as well. I always advocate for the caregiver to ensure that they're handling their stuff and self-care on the side as well.
I'll tell you,
lose yourself.
I don't have the words for it, but the rate of caregiver suicide has been alarming to me. Yeah.
It's not a comparison. So it's not you saying anything that you're dealing with, but because of what he's dealing with, because that particular thing that you just bit your tongue on is one of the reasons why the suicide rate's so high. Like, everyone needs to understand that while it's not a comparison, I need my breaks. I need some time to myself. I need to relax too. I need to unwind, or I'm going to snap and things are going to start breaking. And everyone has that, no, but they're going through so much worse than me, so on and so forth. And you've got to cut yourself some slack. Man, I hope every caregiver hears that out of anything. Yeah. Obviously not drop your person, but you've got to take care of you too. Or neither of you are going to cross the finish line.
In general, if you think about it, starting from the beginning of this podcast, you've been through what you've been through. And for me to sit here with you and talk about my problems, I've had to accept that there is no comparison there. And you've said this repeatedly to our guests, where it's like, even it's trying to get a guest on, or people that are listening are like, well, I'd like to go on, but my problems aren't, as bad as, it doesn't matter. Like, if you're suffering, you're suffering. And being a caregiver is a whole different level of suffering. It does deserve recognition, and good on you for wanting to help other people. And I feel like that's why we do this podcast, is so that other people who are in your situation hopefully watch and go, man, I identify with her so much for what she's going through. I understand what that pain's like, what that difficulty's like. And then you said you've had, I know in the little bit that I had clipped out, you've dealt with some health problems as well.
I was going to say, I'd love to get into that if we can. Was any of it due to the stress of being a caregiver?
No. I wouldn't say.
All right.
I would say I probably wasn't taking the best care of myself. So I probably opened myself up to, some things, but
without blaming yourself.
Yeah. I'm getting better at that,
Chick, I'm proud of you. Good job. Go ahead.
But I did. I had that mindset of, he can't run from his his body, so, you know, I don't have the right to run from him, you know, as far as taking care of him and that sort of thing. So I had, you know, upside down kind of mindset, you know, as far as, you know, taking care of, you know, personal health stuff, you know, going to the doctor when I'm supposed to. So I ended up with septic shock. I went into septic shock, knee liver respiratory failure on a ventilator.
Oh, good God.
And that was not a fun time.
I like, I'm not laughing at what happened. I'm laughing at your face as you were trying to get that sentence out. I'm sorry.
I feel just with laughter.
That's how I am too. Everyone's like, how are you saying that while you're smiling? And I'm like, watch like this.
It is what it is.
It helps with the acceptance and the rolling with it, honestly.
Right, you just keep rolling with it.
Yeah, let's go.
Just keep on going.
I mean, what are you going to do? You know what I mean? In the case of going through some terrible things, other than make light of it as much as you possibly can.
Right.
Because you can do that or you can drown in it.
Exactly. That's what we had a therapist. We were talking about some of his stuff. This is before anything was even going on with me. And we were laughing together, you know, the two of us. And we've been married 22 years this year. So, you know, we've been married a while. So.
Congratulations.
Well, good job.
We're laughing and she's like, why are you laughing at this? This is such a serious matter, you know? And I'm like, I'd rather laugh than cry, you know?
Yeah.
Well, you went to school for this.
Coping mechanism.
I was like, yo, the therapist, like, that's a good thing. This is only good stuff, guys. Like,
yeah, I don't know how that's a negative thing to make light of it, because it's just, I deal with so many things with humor. It's just my way of coping with almost everything.
It is. I mean, who wants to be around, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, there's other active ways to cope with stuff. But like, yeah, that's definitely my plan A, B, C. Like, how dark we going? Real dark. let's make people real uncomfortable real quick. Like, and then, but then you're doing this and then they'll break eventually.
I think that's been like one of my hardest things, like in the professional world, is, you know, military, we do have such a dark humor that we cope with, you know, like,
oh, yeah.
And it's not always accepted.
Right. Not everybody gets that. Yeah.
It comes down. It always, all the way down to how we talk to each other in the workforce. Yeah. Cause I had to stop saying kill them all at the end of phone calls. Like, that was my, I'm hanging up now.
Yeah.
Like, that was my adieu. Have a jolly good day was kill them all. And I would hang up. Like, and I did that to a lot of people that did not serve. And I'm just like, maybe I should augment this. yup, kill. Like, what did you just say? Nothing.
Nothing at all.
None of your business.
Military speaks insane if you're a civilian, because everything is abbreviated. It's got some nickname. It's fucking like across the board, dude. And when you start talking to somebody else who's military, I'm like, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about, dude.
Yeah.
Give me the fucking civilian's version of this shit.
Well, most of it is that. It ends up being there's not another name for whatever it is because they decided to overcomplicate the crap out of it.
Yeah.
And it's all, and the buildings are never numbered in order on base either. So like, yeah, it's never building 1, 2, 3, and 4. It's like building 682 and building 347 are right next to each other. And then, like, you know, the other ones down the road's got A's and B's attached to them. Like, there's a whole lot of just what it's called is stupid. Yes, sir. Go ahead. Go have some gumballs. Sorry, that's my son.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Get that gumball.
After he eats, he's allowed to have gumballs. So he came in with his empty plate to show me that he ate.
Good job.
I bet.
I cleaned my plate, or at least the dog did. Can I get some gumballs?
Kane's in here with me, so I would say he could have hid it somewhere. It's possible.
He's just got a stash of old food sitting in his room under something.
I have seen him try to strategically put it under stuff in the trash can and then put the plate down. Like, brilliant. So if I were to look in, I'd see an empty plate. Like, and I'm just like, honestly, that's clever.
You can't get too mad.
Yeah, and it's gumballs. That only strengthens the all of the muscles you need to talk more. And if I want him to talk more, I can't get mad if he's working out.
He's built for upper management, dude.
Sorry. Funny. That was a tangent. I apologize.
So when you started going through what you were going through, like to get to that point, there had to be some lead up to it. Was it kind of like, it's going to be fine, I'll get better? And then it just became so severe that you had to go to the hospital and it was what it was?
Or was it more like a tidal wave where just out of nowhere you got into respiratory failure?
What I remember. I remember that I'd had an infection, I guess normal, whatever infection. And my daughter had a dance ballet on like a Tuesday night. And I remember Keith's like, you don't look good. You're not looking too good. And I'm like, I'm fine. I just need to get Haley's hair done for dance.
Yeah.
That was important. The last memory I have. Wow. But they said I did the hair, so I got it done.
The hair looked right in all the pictures.
That's a little terrifying to black out and take your daughter to get her hair done.
I was going to say, it was
the bun for the Tuesday.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Dance, or, curling know. Iron or straightener or something hot.
Yeah,
it's a crazy concept to disappear from your brain for a minute and not remember some shit.
I've done
it drinking.
That's crazy. Like just having like a complete, gap of the 2 weeks leading up to it. I don't remember, any of that or anything, but I remember they were like kind of waking me up a little bit and trying to see if they could take the vent out, mm-hmm. And I could hear him say, she's not ready. And I told him I wanted to write something, never done anything. And I said, I'm ready. That's my, they said her blood pressure is too low. And I said, that's my normal. I wrote it out and everything. Like,
my shit's low. It just stays low.
I'm like, no, that's my normal. It wasn't my normal. Of course it wasn't my normal.
I was still trying to boss
him around like in a coma,
Hell yeah.
Still trying to tell him what to do.
Yes. But that's something that gets told at Thanksgiving every year, huh?
She's
that level of bossy, man.
Yeah.
She was dying out of it, half in a coma.
No, I'm good.
I'm good. Pull it out. It's fine.
Just let me out of here.
I can breathe so good. Just let me try.
It'll be fine, really.
I've been breathing all my Lee Long life.
Yeah.
Like, this is the only time I haven't been.
I went a whole year one time without talking.
Really?
Yeah.
It was my first year. Oh, I was gonna say. I was like, I would literally die.
I was gonna say that's a survival story in itself, but no. I get it. It's funny.
I had to throw something out there,
Oh man, if they took my voice away.
No.
Science.
You're good.
Yeah, that I can't imagine. I mean, there's a lot of different things that would seemingly be the worst things to be afflicted with. Like I got a buddy who's got cerebral palsy, and in person he barely moves. He can wheel himself around, but he talks. It's very slow and hard to understand. But when I text with him, he talks like me and you.
Yeah.
So inside that broken ass body is a normal brain on some level,
and like. The dude who just passed away finally. Sorry, finally was not the right word for that. I apologize. But he spent 7 years in an iron lung.
Yeah.
And like went to law school and became a lawyer and practiced law all in an iron lung.
Damn.
Like that shit is just terrifying to try to imagine. Like I'm so sorry for anyone. I did not mean to say finally, but like. I thought he'd passed whenever I got or heard the news, I was like, oh my God, he held on longer than I would have ever imagined and did far more than anyone ever thought he'd be capable of. But fuck that.
Yeah, that's crazy, man. Imagine that's your lawyer, dude. Imagine you're like,
I was like, all he can do is study up for this damn case. Like, so he's going to be prepared.
It'd be crazy if Stephen Hawking would have been a lawyer instead of a scientist, and he would have to come in and talk through the thing while he's trying to plead his case.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury. I'm in a wheelchair too. I'm allowed to make fun of him, right?
I think that's it.
It's like,
oh my gosh.
There's a special place in hell for your type.
He'll be there too. It'll be fine. We can talk about it in person.
Holy shit, dude.
Oh, sorry. We just talked about the dark stuff, man. Sorry.
I would pay good money to have you make a skit for YouTube just of you doing a Stephen Hawking impression, dude. That's why is that not your next Halloween costume?
He had a whole different kind of setup. And
yeah, you
I
have
don't
to
know.
Modify it a little bit.
Yeah, maybe. I'm gonna have to get my lower mandible to do some stuff. I still haven't done Lieutenant Dan. This past year. Yeah. So this past year was one of the first years I did like amputee specific costume. I did Dr. Arliss Loveless from Wild Wild West.
Okay.
The bad guy.
Yeah.
Where
the wheelchair becomes a spider or some shit.
Yeah. I put on a fake beard because I'm incapable of growing facial hair, and I had a top hat. Just
wow.
Dr. Arliss Loveless of the Loveless Alliance.
Oh, no.
Love it.
Good times. But yeah, I need to do Hawking. I need to do Lieutenant Dan.
You could do Professor X.
Oh, yeah. I'd have to put on a bald cap. But I have a bald cap, so hey, might as well.
See? We're
I'd
really
have to get the chair all golden and fabulous, though. I'd have to have someone fabuloso my chair up.
Dude, some of my favorite costumes are when they take kids that are in wheelchairs and like make some elaborate-ass cool shit. Like
yes.
One made like
the a TIE fighter.
Truck. Yeah, dude. That shit is badass.
Yeah.
Made me wish I was in a wheelchair when I was a kid and saw that shit. I was like, dude, I want to be in a wheelchair.
Zoom, zoom, motherfucker.
My mom used to, we were supposed to create those, you ever do the Valentine's boxes, like where you have the competition in class? So when you're in elementary school, they would be like, all right, Valentine's coming up. Everybody's got to make a box for everyone to put their Valentine's in.
Well, yeah. And then whoever got the most is the coolest or whatever.
Well, no, they'd vote, like the class would vote on whose was best or whatever. I don't know how many kids did this, probably all of them, but my mom would do the whole fucking thing. I didn't touch it. And I'd win every other year. You know what I mean? It was amazing.
I thought this was about to get way darker. I thought it was just going to be like, yeah, and you weren't required to put one in everyone else's boxes. So like they'd count them at the end of class and see who had the most. And I'm just like, dude, school was bad shit in the Midwest.
Yeah. Oh, it was bad shit, dude. It was crazy. I had a terrible school experience all around.
That is active bullying. That is not passive at all.
Dude, I used to get bullied by teachers and shit. It was crazy.
You're very bullyable. I get it.
Yeah. Well, I definitely was then. I was like a late puberty kid. So everybody else is fucking got mustaches and I'm squeaking around the, you know, hey guys. It's wild.
Sorry. What's up, Keith? How you doing, dog?
Hold on, just
like.
No worries. Yeah, my mom, I remember one year she made an old cassette player jam box with aluminum foil and fucking.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Took like caps off of soda bottles and made the knobs and shit.
Ooh, she crafty.
She's crafty, dude. She fucked it up. It's like, damn.
Crafty AF. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then you're like, oh, I won the competition, but I only got two Valentines. Everyone hates me.
Yeah, I was gonna say I won, but I kind of lost. Like, oh no. We had a kid in middle school who started balding already. I felt
started
terrible.
What?
Balding? His shit thinned out. No. His shit thinned out in eighth grade. And I was just like, damn.
We had a couple kids that had mustaches and like could have grown a beard in like elementary school. Fifth
and this
grade.
Is that's all I got,
then,
man.
And then by the time we all hit puberty, they were like the short kid that was weird. You know what I mean? It like
y'all caught up and just
yeah, they were cool for a second. Everybody's like, man, what a badass! He's got a mustache. He's way bigger than all of us. But he like topped out. like he was fucking done growing, dude. Crazy.
I stayed short until high school, and then I didn't get very tall. And then I got short again about 3 years later.
You went back to your 8 year old height.
Yeah, I was. I say that every whenever I'm talking about stuff from before injury, I either hit them with back in real life, or when I was short the first time. If I was talking about when I was a kid, and I watch them like, oh. And I'm just like, nah. I said it. It's fine. That one, when people get mad on behalf, I'm just, you shut up. You want me to yell at me? Sorry.
So Tiana, what kind of Tiana? Anna, right?
Tiana.
I didn't get it wrong. You screwed me up. I said it right at the beginning, and you fucked me up, Ty, because you started asking different variations.
I wanted to make sure we're gonna say her name right. Tiana, hell no.
He's like, I'm from the country, bitch. Say it right. What are you doing? You said you're, you know, kind of helping with awareness and like trying to help other people. What steps are you taking in that direction?
One of the things that we're doing is we do SITREP Sundays. So that's just a Zoom call, and it's mainly with his unit back in Tennessee, but we've got people scattered everywhere, of course.
Are we interrupting that?
No, not yet. Not until 8 o'clock.
Okay, right.
Yeah.
I was like, oh no.
And so that's been really, really awesome. We're working on a little nonprofit with that, and we'll end up doing some housing and stuff for veterans is what that'll turn out.
That's amazing.
That's really exciting.
That's pretty, pretty cool.
So everyone just, is it kind of, just what it sounds like, everyone kind of just checks in, talks, whatever?
Yeah. A lot of times we'll bring somebody on to kind of talk about a nonprofit or, you know, whatever. Hmm. Somebody's got something going on.
But yeah, mostly just to put eyes on and let everyone know you care still. That's fantastic.
Just come on, just have that camaraderie back again, back and forth with each other. And so we'll probably end up branching that out a little bit more since it's doing so well.
I love that.
And
it's exciting.
So that's a big thing. We're big with the VFW here in Winter Springs. He was commander 1 year, and I'm auxiliary chaplain.
That's awesome.
Ooh, chaps.
And so, wherever we can, you know, be of assistance, you know, we just do what we got, you know?
Yeah, I get it.
That's the best part too. Y'all seem like you're also like we have these things. What all awesome things can we do with it all? Like it seems like you got a lot of irons in the fire, but in like a good way, not like a get overwhelmed way. That's exciting.
Well, I tell you, like especially like in some of his darker days, it's like I would just look for a purpose. Like how do you keep that will to live when you're in that much pain all the time, how do you keep that up? And so some of those days that's what it was about, it's like, and when he didn't care about anything else, he still cared about his soldiers, cared about his men. So that's how
It's something I learned from Ty recently, and I guess it's just something you don't put together as a civilian so much, where the brotherhood of it and the connection you have and the camaraderie that you have, that you're literally putting your lives on the line together and you're living for your brothers, and then you come home and everybody goes separate ways, and I think that's really important. What you're doing is getting everyone together to kind of touch that a little bit, It sounds like, honestly, that would be a therapy for everyone in the armed forces. Honestly,
I honestly believe that. I they developed the battle buddy system for a reason, and I think we still need it. I think.
Yeah, that was how I explained it as well. Freaking at no point when you're in, do you not have 16 people who will come a running the second you need help with something, pick this up, pick that up. I'm like, I can't figure this out. Whatever it is, they're coming. If you're working, that is, you know, 30 other dudes who are right there going to stop that guy from hurting you. Like, and no matter what, you had that phalanx of support around you at all times for four, yeah. eight, you know, however long you served. And then, yeah, the moment you're done, you keep in contact with X, Y, and Z, you know, your besties, but like, it's hard to keep contact with everybody. And then you immediately just feel, yeah, no one cares if I make it safely to my point B here. And like, that's not how it's supposed to be.
Well, combine that with just everybody's lives getting in the way. Even with, you know, normal friends, it's hard sometimes, but mm-hmm. then throw on top of that, that especially, you know, people that have served are many are suffering from PTSD or some type of thing that often they don't want to talk about or they don't want to share because it feels like a weakness. It feels like they're losing something where they're probably avoiding talking to people that they served with, you know? Mm-hmm. So put all that together and it's like, it seems like it should almost be like, I don't want to say mandatory, but it should be something the military itself should be like, hey, we're going to in aftercare of when you leave, this is what we're doing. Every week you're going to get on a call with all of, you know, everybody that you served with. Yeah. It's
yeah. Or at least this group of people have like a fire team or something.
Right.
Yeah, and that's what we were trying to explain that. Was it last time? How the separation in TAPS classes are just garbage. Like the stuff you have to take to get out of the military don't prepare you for shit.
Right.
Like it's how to do a job interview better. And I'm like, on a scale of 1 to 10, how many job interviews you think I'm going on? Like I would say, like, yeah, how about you help me get me that number tree, get me this, like get me things that'll actually help me freaking when you're going here, make sure you have this therapist lined up because it's going to get dark. Like, I don't just the entire separation system that was in place. They might have done things to it since, but I retired in 2012 and yeah. They were just like, it was just, all right, here you wear a nice suit. Don't wear black. That's how you don't get the job. Bye. Like that's the only thing I remember from Seps and Taps was the don't wear all black because that's a power move.
Well, I think people forget that oftentimes when someone joins the military, they're a fucking child. You're an 18-year-old child.
17.
That's what I'm saying. My daughter's almost 20, and she's an adult in a lot of ways, but she's still a fucking kid in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
Like your frontal lobe doesn't, like I said earlier, doesn't stop developing till you're older than that.
28.
So it's like you think when somebody goes in and they serve, they're a child, they're a kid, they get... Their whole perception of life is built around this brotherhood. And then you come back to civilian life and everything that you've been training for and working on, barely any of it applies to regular civilian life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so easy for the United States to be like, hey, thanks for doing the job we needed done. Good luck. And it's fucking wild, man.
And yeah, well, you'll get discounts every November at a lot of restaurants.
Or and on your birthday if you sign up for their mailing list.
Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah, it's wild, man. It's something, it's really tough because again, as a civilian, and I'm thinking back to before I was the last 3 or 4 years when I've been more closely connected with veterans, there's so much of it. There's so many organizations and so many things that it's hard as a civilian to pin down what you should participate in, what you should put money towards, what you should do to be as helpful as possible.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be another way for, it's almost like if there was a hub that said, hey, this is what this does. This is what this does. These people really need help. And then you hear of the organizations where only 18% goes to actually doing anything, shit like that. So it's like,
oh,
it's
yeah.
really hard to know where to put your money, where to put your time.
There's a list that anytime someone's ready to ask it, yo, are there charities that you support? And I'm just like, first off, not this one. Like, and then I'll just ding, 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 give them a good list. But I'm just like, first and foremost, A is not this one. Like, I don't care if they have Super Bowl commercials. Just don't do
like,
it.
Just like everyone else, man. Just like every other walk of life, if you give someone an opportunity to use something for profit to further their self, they're going to abuse it. It just happens. So you know, I couldn't even name a name, but I have heard that some of the like bigger organizations are pretty terrible.
Yes. You're not wrong.
Well, and then you get into that space where you start thinking, you're like, all right, 18% of that money goes to help people, but it's still better than 0%. You know what I'm saying? Someone's life is getting better. So you have to like weigh that out and go,
yes,
I still think it's worth contributing. But again, like it would be nice. And I think this could go for any type of charity for people to know, like, where can I put money? Where can I show up to events? For what organizations are worthwhile? What are, what's actually helping people and what's not, you know?
Yes. Yeah. The main one that always comes to mind does indeed help the shit out of the people it helps. In just my opinion, it doesn't help enough people to justify the amount of money that they bring in. But yeah, that's the same. I will make sure I tell people ones where it'll be the most bang for their buck, basically. Like if you put this much towards it, I'll tell you right now that, you know, 80 to 90% of that chunk of whatever you just put in there is going to go directly to whatever the program is. Yeah. Like, and those are the ones that I will ensure, it'll be ones that I've experienced, that I've went to their events and I've met the people and seen either the product or the activity or whatever it is, and see what it is they're doing for people first before I'm just like, yeah, fuck them. They're the ones, man.
and no one should have a problem with it. If you're going to put all your time into something like that, you should make a living. I mean, you should be able to pay your bills. I'm not saying that someone shouldn't make money for what they're doing, but it's the amount of money. You know, if you're being helpful and you're in a good headspace for doing that type of shit, you shouldn't live in a fucking mansion.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Like, you need to live a normal, modest life and then healthy, put all the rest of the money towards helping people.
Yeah. Just like politicians and televangelists and everyone else I can think of right now. Like if you're doing it for the reason that you're supposed to be doing it, you should not be wealthy after. You should have helped way more people or this or that. Like you should have been respected at the end of it, but you shouldn't be wealthy at the end of it. Yeah. Like that's not math.
Yeah, it doesn't make a lot of sense, man. We live in a wildly corrupt society that we just kind of all accept.
There's nothing that makes sense right now.
Except is a strong word, but I know what you're saying. I don't go to anyone's front door and tell them to eat a bag of dicks. You're right. I must actually do better.
Did you ever see the video of that dude that broke into Nancy Pelosi's house and whacked her husband in the head with a hammer?
No.
Dude, it is wild.
It doesn't sound not wild.
He broke into their house and I don't know his name, but Mr. Pelosi. he's confronting the guy, but he's like not taking it seriously. He's got one hand on a scotch or some shit. And he's like trying to subdue this dude with one arm. And it's like, are you out of your fucking mind, dude? Are you so entitled and just out of touch with reality? And the cops come and all this shit, and right before it's all said and done, the dude just fucking smacks him in the head with it. Fucked him up. Like, it knocked him out, and it was wild, man.
I do enjoy those videos when it's just like, when it's some hoity-toity D-bag who's just like, you won't do that. And, whack, and then they do that, and you're just like, like just, but like, no one should hit anyone in the head with a hammer.
Of course not. But
like, on the other side of that coin, it's always funny whenever someone's like, that's the last thing you'll do, Buster. And then it's the first thing they do. Like, just like try that and see what happens to you. And like, and then 2 seconds later, that person's unconscious. And it's just like, huh, yeah, what now, Brad?
I feel like a lot of people, especially in politics and famous, just they don't have a concept of reality when it comes to so many things.
Facts.
It's crazy.
Absolute facts. Yeah, you read some 100%. Of the stuff. You end up reading a comment here and there by somebody or reading a post, getting on their Instagrams or something, and you're just like,
yeah.
You're more out of touch with reality than I didn't know was possible. like, as someone who actively doesn't watch news because it's usually skewed in every which way.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and I'll get the information I need from various other sources, but I'm not going to watch like the evening news. People are ridiculous.
Dude, I am drawing a blank right now. Who's the British comic that's an actor? He's Oliver. Freaking hilarious. No.
Give me anything more. Give me some more stuff.
He's a comedian. He does stand up. Helpful. But he also does movies, writes his own movies, directs his own movies.
British?
Yeah. Fuck, dude. I'm a huge fan of the guy, and I can't think of his name.
Ricky Gervais.
Yes, Ricky Gervais. Jeez, man. I was going to...
I was thinking out. Younger for some reason. I was stuck on... My no. brain stuck on Daniel Sloss.
Did you guys,
hysterical, by the way. Sorry,
go. Did you guys ever hear Ricky Gervais doing his monologue for the Golden Globe Awards?
Mm-hmm.
You heard it?
I did.
Oh, dude, it was awesome. It was one of the greatest moments in TV history, dude. He was basically just standing there in front of everyone in Hollywood going...
With a beer in his hand.
Yeah, and he's like, you're going to come up here and accept your little award... He goes, don't try to lecture us on anything because you know less about the real world than Greta Thunberg. And he's like, accept your little award, thank your agent, thank your God, and fuck off.
Yeah. He was the host and basically just told everyone not to come up here and get on their high horse of horse shit.
Yeah,
and just say thank you to everyone who helped you get this specific thing. Like, bye.
Yeah, it was so sick.
He's not one to mince words or give a shit, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. You would like Daniel Sloss as well if you've not looked him up, sir.
Never heard of him. I'll look him up.
He's got some on the Netflix. I think there's two.
Is he British?
Great Britain. I want to say Ireland, though.
Oh, okay.
I might be... Ireland or Scotland. My brain is... damn it. Ireland or Scotland. But
you're American. You don't know the difference.
He says it in one of them is what I'm saying. Yeah, one of them is James Bond, and one of them was freaking held under Britain's thumb for a very, 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 very long time.
Wow. That's a lot of varies.
Mm-hmm. They would agree, probably.
So
the potato famine wasn't because they weren't growing enough food. It was because they were only allowed to eat potatoes.
Hmm.
Sorry, go ahead.
I like potatoes. I'm not going to lie. They're pretty fucking good.
If it was breakfast, lunch, and dinner, I'd probably like them a whole lot fucking less. But
probably. They probably weren't preparing them in cool ways. It was probably just a fucking potato.
Boil that shit and eat it.
Yeah, yeah, but potatoes, you can make them so many badass ways.
Yeah.
Fries.
From vodka all the way to French fries.
Yep. Mashed potatoes might be my favorite food on the planet.
It's up there. It's a good one.
It's good shit.
I didn't like home fries until I was a grown ass man.
Home fries. Is that
like the breakfast potatoes?
The slices.
It felt like I was mixing genres when I was a kid. Like it felt like, why is this dinner on my plate?
Is it like when they're little squares?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Sometimes they got onions and stuff in them, but I would just scrambled eggs, grits, bacon. The fuck is this dinner doing on my plate? Why is this potato on my plate? This is weird. But yeah, now I'm a grown up.
Damn. Breakfast sounds so good.
Oh, dude. Breakfast for dinner?
Dude, cool. Breakfast for dinner. Shit. It's the best.
Plus, I keep the bacon for cooking other stuff.
You the cook there?
Who, me?
Anna? Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, is that a laugh because hell no? Like, or is that a laugh because duh?
So you go all out on the breakfast?
No, I'm not. I'm not the cook. I'm not. Uber's the cook. Uber Eats.
Oh, nice.
No. I try to cook when I can.
Yeah.
And life is busy, so.
Uber Eats is a lifesaver.
Man.
Big fan. They fuck up orders sometimes, but.
Yeah, but like I don't know about it. I usually use DoorDash, and every time they fuck up my order, I just tell DoorDash and they compensate me quickly. I'm like, all right, I'm cool.
I haven't tried to argue.
You know John Oliver's show?
I know what you're talking about.
Real, what I don't know, it's called Real Something. anyway, he did a whole thing about food delivery services, and they're pretty fucking corrupt, dude. Yeah, you don't know that, but they like manipulate restaurants, and they'll put restaurants menus on that they didn't get approval to do so without foods that they don't even have, and just do banana shit. They'll have their own employees like they'll like roll up to the place and pretend like a customer, like the driver.
The rest, they have an order because they're the one who's taking the order and getting it to the person. Which yeah. I guess isn't technically wrong, but like
it hurts the business.
Yeah, and I was gonna say you're toying with the line of right and wrong for sure on that. Like, but if it's a popular ass, I don't know. If they do that every time, that would suck. But like if there was just one popular ass company that wouldn't work with them or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. But yeah. They were selling, I guess the way it works is they DoorDash collects all the money. And then they pay them out at the end of the month. So they just get a massive check or whatever.
Yeah.
And they were showing that like one Grubhub, one company, they did like $18,000 worth of business, some huge amount of money. And DoorDash kept like 60% of that. So it's a reason they keep raising the prices on stuff. And like, it's crazy. It's yeah. like, why? And they're all trying to like buy the other ones to narrow it down to one company, and it sucks how every, you know, look at Uber itself. Remember when it first came out and they were trying to take down the cab companies? There was a big battle in New York and all that. Well, it was super cheap. It was super cheap. Then once they knocked the cab companies out, it wasn't cheap anymore.
Nope.
Yeah.
And DoorDash and
yeah, once you monopolize, once you corner the market, you can charge what you want.
Yep, and then you start sticking it to the customers again. It's crazy.
But and then, hell, there was a whole point when they were talking about, like, you can't be drunk if we're going to come pick you up. And I'm like, that's the whole reason for Uber. Like, like that's literally the reason you exist. Like, that's like, I get too drunk. Like if you're sloppy falling over the place and puking all over yourself, I don't really want you to get in my car. Like,
well, of course
unless
not,
you're paying me double or triple, or I have tarps down like Dexter.
Dude, that's like saying don't send.
Dexter.
It's like if Snapchat came out and said, "Hey, don't send nudes on Snapchat."
No
it's
more like, allowed nudes. No.
That's why you exist, dude.
It's made for cheating, duh.
It's literally made for cheating, dude. I don't know how it's taken off as some social network.
Like it deletes the second you look at it, dang, for reasons.
And if you screenshot it, then we're gonna tell them.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to get tricky and get another camera and take a picture of your screen when it pops up.
That is a two-hand job, sir.
I mean, I've never done that, but that somebody is, I know.
That requires too many phalanges.
To get over here.
Talk about cheating. Come on, Keith.
Hands to face, Keith.
They're talking about cheating over here. I'm not.
I'm sorry.
Oh, Keith. Crap, I lost it. I had a thing. Sorry. The dog crop dusted me real bad. I had to mute myself real quick so I could yell for the kid to go take him outside. I was like, hey, if he craps behind me, I'm going to be real mad at you.
Yeah, I'm really glad you shared that with us, man. Now we can all imagine the smell of your dog's fart.
I'm here for you. I had to actually deal with it. Look how big my nostrils are, bro. You think I can't just, you think I can like dodge a smell? Yeah, right.
Look like two upside down funnels, dude.
Look at that bullshit. You can put a whole quarter in both sides. I was made to be a cokehead.
It's crazy. You missed your calling, I guess.
But I just, man, I do not like cocaine like that. No, I don't.
Is he doing any better?
Hmm? Yeah, a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
He's trying to.
It's all good if he's not feeling it.
Yeah. He just got flushed and sick.
It's all right.
Shitty.
It happens.
You can puke on the camera, bro. It's all right.
Yeah, we can also have you guys back on in a few episodes and he can when he's feeling better.
Yeah, we got a few side Bs we got to do anyways, so.
Part cool two.
Yeah, yeah. I was saying.
Yeah, we got to get.
He said, you're doing great, T.
Yeah, you're the best of this, Tagana.
We're up at Walter Reed.
Yeah.
He That's where he had his first spinal cord stimulator. Mm. And he'd had the surgery, and we were staying at the Fisher house there. And he would call for me. He'd say, "Hey, babe. Hey, babe." And they always knew it was me. You know.
Yeah.
And so they started calling him "Hey, babe" there. We're back at Fort Campbell months later.
He's a man of many nicknames.
I know, right?
Military.
Many hats. And he was calling for me, and somebody goes, "Is that Hey Babe?" They recognized him from, they had never met him in the Fisher house at Walter Reed. They only recognized his voice.
Yeah, his hollering voice. Yeah. That's hysterical. Whoa, I know that voice from anywhere.
That's crazy.
Man.
Sounds like, well, who was it? Howard's mom on Big Bang Theory. She's just a character you hear the whole time. You never actually see the actress that plays her. She's always just yelling from off camera. I was like, that's what that made.
That was good.
Howard.
Charlie Brown, the teacher.
That's, what is that? That's Muppet Babies. Waka waka.
Yeah.
Fozzie.
Kind of the same thing. Old Fozzie Bear.
Old Fozzie the Bear.
That's crazy.
Damn. We just went on a nostalgia freaking roll down a hill.
All right.
There was no rhyme or reason to that one. I was like, oh yeah, that. Oh wait, that. Okay.
We can keep going like Fraggle Rocks. Like, where do we want to go with that?
You know they came out with a new Fraggle Rock?
What?
Yep.
The newer Muppet Babies is really good.
I was frustrated because I turned the new Fraggle Rock on. I just wanted to hear the intro song.
Yeah.
Dance your cares away. Worries for another day. Let the music play down in Fraggle Rock. Nope. New song. Fucking gay. I hate it.
I was like,
I'm not even watching this shit. It's a travesty.
Butterfly in the sky.
Wrong.
Letters from Uncle Travis.
It's not a radio rainbow.
You can fly twice as high. Take a look. Shit's in a book.
LeVar Burton, dude.
Man. I mean, think about a career though. He hasn't been in a million things by any means, but Reading Rainbow influenced what, two generations? And then he was Kunta Kinte in Roots.
I didn't know that.
And he was he's the main motherfucker. He's Toby in Roots. And then he also was Geordi LaForge in Star Trek.
That's what I know him
from. Yeah, breaking barriers as an African American on a spaceship too.
Well, you know what's crazy is I told you this before. When I was young, we used to all sleep in the living room. Me and my siblings, both my sisters and my brother and me would make pallets on the floor and we'd watch Next Generation and fall asleep. So once I finally saw Geordi LaForge without LeVar Burton, without the goggles thing, I was like, I can't fucking look at him, dude. His eyes are weird. I don't like it. What's going on? It was fucking bizarre, dude.
So used to this thing.
Imagine having a character where you got to wear those goofy fucking goggles.
I mean, there's some of those people who no one knows what they look like because of the whole mask they got to wear. So at least seeing had to be something. He probably ran into a whole lot of shit. I hope there'd be like a shorthand or that everyone was supportive. So like if he was about to clean something off, like someone would stop him real quick. They supported him.
I was in a shitty B movie with Kane Hodder and another guy who played Leatherface.
Okay.
And you know who the fuck they were when you see him in person because their whole career they had the mask on.
Yeah.
You're like, yeah, you don't look anything like your on-screen character. It's probably a good thing.
Like, well, yeah, I hope I don't look like the murderous fella.
The guy that played Leatherface was just a brutally bad actor, too. Mm-hmm. Awful. Like, he's a big oaf. Like, it made sense. He looked scary. But, man, there were lines that he had to do. And the way they do it on set is they'll repeat the lines in different ways. So like they'll do the line. If it doesn't, you know, they're like, oh, let's try that again. usually the actor will like shift the way they say it, like try to enunciate different things, or you know what I mean? Like just make it different. And this dude just sounded like a fucking tape recorder, and each time was just as bad as the one before.
Yeah.
Awful. I'm like, well, I know why.
Not that I would do good, but I would definitely be changing it up every time they asked me to try something different. You'll like it eventually.
Yeah. It's definitely a lot harder than it looks, I think.
Mm-hmm. Well, voice acting would be the nightmare for that. Because, yeah, that's, yeah. They got to do, all right, try it. Do it like that. Okay, cool. Now do it different. You're like, what kind of different? Yeah, just do it different. You got to come in with like 9 different ways. And then if you do all 9 different ways, they're just like, all right, we'll try it more pensively. Or, you know, and you just all day reading the same damn line different ways. Yeah. That shit would get old very fast. I'd get frustrated as fuck. If I was supposed to sound mad in the clip, however many times you made me say it would help. But beyond that, no. Yeah. Like, I'd just be like, oh, he's getting real mad. You can't handle the truth. Oh, sorry.
It's crazy. I kind of like actually feel like I would appreciate more. You ever watch Curb Your Enthusiasm? Either of you guys?
I know what you're talking about, but no, I never watched it.
It's really funny. It's fantastic. But it's all improv. So they have a basic storyline. They're like, okay, this is what this scene's about. Now go. And it's just very loosely directed. Otherwise, it's all improv. And I'm like, that might be a little fun if you knew how to act.
There's shit. There's a show on Netflix that I can't remember the freaking name of, but they got the big name people who come in who aren't given a script.
Right.
And like whoever the cameo guest star of that episode is fucking winging it. Everyone else has a script. And I can't think of the top of my head right now. But a lot of big name people got to come in and they just really have to wing the scene. Like everything is, their whole part is improv. They're learning how to as you are. And I'm like, that's fun. Cool little concept.
So what do you guys do on a regular everyday basis? As far as like with what he's dealing with and what you're dealing with, do you have time to sit down and watch movies, do shit like that? What's your recreation like together?
His like, he's a South Park fan. Like, if especially if he's hurting or, you know, something, whatever's going on, you know, something funny, something that's predictable, that, you know, it's kind of, so I kind of like judge the day by, you know, how the night went usually, you know, like,
right.
I can see that.
And so we just play it by ear. A lot of the times, you know, we have a point where we're at the VA a lot and we try to go to the DFW if we can, you know.
I was going to say, because, yeah, your life can't just be dealing with each other's ailments kind of thing.
Yeah.
I would say, you got to do some other stuff.
We try here and to there. Compartmentalize, you know, like he'll talk about that, like, when he's feeling a little better, maybe next time or something. But, like, you know, trying to not let that dictate your life, you know, like, there's going to be issues always.
Yeah.
You know, and, so just trying to keep moving forward. Our little saying is adapt and overcome. So so that's our little thing, you know, like, what do we need to adapt and overcome today? You know, like, here's what we have set forward. You know, here's the appointments that we're supposed to have today. Can we manage all of those with the energy that we have today? You know,
He tries to learn something
every day.
I like that too. Because awesome. The day you stop learning is the day you learn.
Yeah.
I like that. That's a great attitude for sure.
So when he suffers from, you're saying every time he falls asleep, or almost every time he falls asleep, he has a nightmare?
It's pretty much every time. I mean,
so does sleep
it's
come?
It's more rare to not have one than it is.
God, that's that,
so what harrowing. I say, yeah. And so, but like, I have like a kind of running theory. A lot of his guys we found out recently have sleep apnea also. And he's got central sleep apnea. So it's from the brain. So it's not obstructive.
Okay.
from the brain injury. And so he's on a BiPAP ST, so it breathes for him.
Okay.
Okay.
And I think that his oxygen drops and it triggers the nightmares.
Wow.
That's my running theory right now. So,
no, and
especially talking to his other guys that were in the same combat zone and everything, you know, having some of the same issues and that sort of thing. I feel like this is, you know, a common denominator.
Yeah. Shit.
Yeah. I was going to say, having incorrect sleep affects so many fucking things. So many things.
Sleep ends up being your foundation. If you can sleep and you can drink water, you'll live much longer than any of the other things.
Yeah. it's staff. I would ask, like, how are you sleeping? I'd ask my staff and I would say, how are you sleeping? Are you? And they're like, I've never had someone ask me how I'm sleeping. I'm like, I know what not getting sleep can do to your body. You know, it's like, it's not good. It's not good for you.
Physically or mentally. Mm-hmm.
And mentally, physically, you feel more drained. Everything, you get sore faster, you get exhausted faster, you get to muscle failure much faster.
Mm-hmm.
Which those things I only realized just because using the one arm only for everything. Some days, midday, I'm just like, okay, like I'm not working out, so why is my arm sucking so bad? Oh, wait, drink water, go to sleep.
Take some 800s.
Yeah, I've changed your socks.
You're gonna eventually have like one big massive Popeye arm.
Yeah,
I mean, it's there's definitely a scaled difference in size already. Anyways, hey, this boy is narrow, very skinny. They took out my Popeye muscle. I don't have a bicep anymore. It's just a unicep.
Tell him to put it back.
Yeah, I was like, it had an infection.
Give me a prosthetic.
So I got a tricep and a sep. Some bullshit. You're supposed to have a bicep too.
Well, yeah, there's not a whole. I mean, I know you use the nub some, but you can't use it for everything. I mean,
it ends up being a support a lot. I mean, I can put weight through it really well. But it ends up just being like, I'll wedge it onto the side of whatever the other thing is, because this whole thing don't grab things as well as hands are supposed to either. My life has become a claw game. And for
what
a long
time, green aliens.
Yeah. Well, because for the first however long, I ended up having hypersensitivity in my palm and my digits and stuff. So by the time we got that under control, I had to relearn what stuff felt like. So like if you sent me in a bag, like I'll draw one. And if I didn't know for a fact that was supposed to be like tickets, like I wouldn't know what was in there.
Right.
You could have told me it was freaking eyeballs. And I wouldn't have been able to feel the difference at first. I had to literally relearn what everything feels like, and it still doesn't feel quite like it would have used to anyway. So it's mostly just pressure. Just make sure you have it. Hold on tight. Cause it's glass and it will be a problem. Don't want to throw glass on the floor.
Dude, peeing can't be fun.
So the beauty of having to be seated when I do it, results in I don't have to grab it to aim it, really. I just get it hanging over the middle and then do my thing. And then I put my pant leg down.
You just got to make sure you keep it out of the water.
Yeah, it just takes so long to unroll it.
No, I didn't.
I've been weighing my career possibilities.
You were setting it up. I just had to say
it. Out the window. No,
my bad. No, I just. People ask all the time. It's a weird thing that I ultimately have had to answer to complete strangers many a time on the how I go to the bathroom or if I still have my. And just all the. Is it any of your business? But like, if I open myself up to it, why not? I'll answer. It's fun.
It's just weird. That's the first place somebody would go with a question.
Complete strange. Yeah, no, I've had full on strangers.
You still have a penis?
And I'm just like, I have two children. The end. Like, what do you think? Like, do you like what? Do you want to see it? Like, what is the plan here? Like, what is the goal of ascertaining that information?
Yeah, what are you gonna do with it after?
Yeah. I met a guy and he totally had a penis. Like, what the fuck is this? Like, he didn't have legs, but
I think you let them down when you tell them that you do. They want you to say no. That's why they're asking.
Well, because they always wonder why I have such a smile on my face, and then they ask that, and I'm just like, you want to do some mental math real quick and ask yourself if I would be this bubbly, bouncy, smiley ass motherfucker if my junk got blown off too? Like, no, thank you. I would be a whole different boy.
Dude, and then you were telling me that the government doesn't pay you, didn't count that as an appendage up until recently.
No, not so when I was injured in 2010,
yeah.
It did not count as a limb.
Okay.
Which is a lot of guys, you know, but if you were to have gotten injured and it was only your junk that got affected, you wouldn't get the SGLI, the up to $100,000 for having gotten injured in combat. And it's 50 per limb and the cap is 100. So yeah, I got the hundy, but freaking, it wasn't added into the equation in 2010. There was a couple that was up there and the wife was a huge advocate and she went in front of like Congress and shit a few different times. And it is now counted. Genital injuries are now counted towards those big goals or big, brackets and such, which is awesome because I trust me, if it was between my arm or my junk, I would be a quadruple amputee in a fucking heartbeat. I would figure it the fuck out again.
Just a meat pillow with a dick.
I'm a teddy bear who will make you laugh.
This is why. Okay, so you've got to be dressed up as a mortar.
I like how this is when you decide to come in with these. So
you can do your wheelchair as like a, what is it? What was your field artillery stuff? Your Howitzer 155? I don't know. Whatever. You know, the big guns. So your wheelchair for Halloween.
13 Bravo?
Yes, he's 13 Bravo.
Woo-hoo! I was an 0341. I was your little brother.
Oh. He's trying. Mortars. Sorry right now.
So my brother did field artillery for you people too. He served out of Fort Polk in 10th Mountain Division. He likes to make fun. Oh, King of Battle. And I'm just like, yeah, go hang out on your hill. Like, we're going to be down here in the battle. Like, nah, I love and appreciate Artie, man. We had a few different situations. Yeah, he knows what's up. We're down in the corner playing spades. They're up on the hill watching the battle. I get it. But no, I mean, Artie saved our ass several times, so love you. Big fan.
He hates it.
Oh, thank you for your service.
I need to turn the phone around.
I can, trust me, I can see doing this one.
He's trying really hard.
You're welcome for my service.
I still know what to say when people say that shit.
I appreciate you, man. Like, so yeah, because I can't avoid it. I have such a big ass. I can't just dodge them. I can't hide what I am. Like, so like it's, and they're, oh, you're like, God, you and your service is so servicey. And I'm just like, oh, thank you. Like, and I always have to hit them because some people get real overzealous about it. And they're usually older white ladies, like statistically speaking. And the ladies that wear all the makeup, I have to dodge them now. I've learned the hard way because I wear black shirts and they wear three different faces. And at least two of them are going to end up on my shoulder because they're crying and they want to give me a hug due to the crying over me when I was smiling when I told them what happened. Hey, I got old lady tears. If I was some sort of dark freaking voodoo practitioner, this might help me. But
right?
I don't need old white lady tears for any reason anymore. I gave that up a long time ago.
Dude, between that and we also came to the conclusion of how ridiculous it is that when Ty is in front of a crowd and everyone stands up and claps, two things that he can't do.
They just rub it in.
They're like, hey, see, these things are useful.
Yeah, introducing this broke dude. And they stand up because it's so respectful to give you a standing ovation. And then they clap. And I'm just like, oh, fiddlesticks. Like, oh, I want to honor this man. What are two things he can't do? Ready, go. Which I'm always thankful that people want to show their gratitude. I just need anyone listening to know that. But like, it's hard not to think about these things because I get introduced to this stuff a lot. And like the first couple times you're nervous. You're like, how am I going to wave? Like, will I feel? You just like get all animatronic on them. But yeah, once you have that shit down, you start thinking like that person's shoes untied. Like watch them eat shit when they get up to the, like, you know, you start watching the crowd. And then, yeah, there was one or two times where I'm just like, damn, y'all are just bragging out here. Like, hot damn. Thank you. But no, so back to what he said, when someone thanks me, I've gotten down to almost, I shift through them, but I go with, it was my life's honor to serve. And then they're just like, oh yeah, that guy's a badass. And I'm just like, sweet, bye. And then, or I appreciate you very much. Thank you. Like, you know, just for saying that, that was nice kind of deal are the two main ones. And then a lot of the other ones come off of just come off of what the conversation was going anyways. So and if they're real pushy and ridiculous, I'll be short with them in my words too, not just my height. I guess. Hey, I'll be short.
Thank you for your support.
That's a good one. That's solid. That's solid. That's you got a good one for sure. That's a good one for the hopper. But yeah, and I like to mix it up so it doesn't feel like I'm being a weird platitudinal dude to everybody. So I can't say the exact same thing every time because my brain will just be like, you're a dick. You're a dick. You're a dick. Like, because I don't want to be a dick. Like, well, and I do.
I'm like loading up groceries and people see my plate. They go, thanks for your service.
By God, like, even. And you're just like, man, dude, on some days you can just like, it's my dad's car. Sorry. Like, just like, if you just don't want to deal with it, you can just be like, it's not mine. But when they find out they most people from a place of I do care and or am a good hearted person need to say something. And in a lot of different ways, it ends up getting old to us. So like for another version of it is in the wheelchair. I hear, careful, you're going to get a speeding ticket. Or man, I need a ride like that at least 30 times a day. Like, and I'm just like, get your legs blown off. The government will give you one. Like, and I'm just like, there's nowhere in the continental US where the speed limit is slower than 10 mile an hour. And this can go 12. So like, I call the cops. Hey, I don't care.
You got a fast wheelchair.
It zoom zoom. It gets me there.
Just be zipping around and shit, dog.
Word.
Yeah, that's crazy, man. I mean, as a performer, it's just difficult to take compliments from strangers in general. It doesn't really matter the reason. It's like to have someone come up to you and be like, I never knew what to say. Some of my heroes, Norm Macdonald, guys like that, same shit where they're just like, I don't know. Thank you.
I enjoy sharing my gift with the masses, but like individually, you want to be like, thanks for the funny or thanks for the guitar and you're just doing.
Yeah, like, I'm just a guy, dude. But then the flip
side. Work real hard at it. Thank you.
Like, the flip side to that is as a performer, if no one ever said anything, then I'd be like, I must suck. So it's like it's like this double-edged sword, which is useful.
I love my kids. I love my kids. I love my kids. I agree on the double-edged sword thing, because you never want to like slap the hands away that are trying to say nice things to you. Like, you're like, yeah, because I met this little broke dude and I tried to thank him for his service and he told me to go fuck myself. And I'm like, whoa. So now I'll never thank another one again. Fuck them all.
Vote tell, blue. Tell her the story.
Like, and I just...
Sorry. Tell her the story about, I guess you had just gotten out of something and your mom came up and told you that someone was coming to meet you.
No. So they'll get it. So I told the Commandant of the United States Marine Corps to go fuck himself. Practically to his face. Okay, yeah. So here, they heard the episode. It's fine. I don't need to repeat it. But no, I was, yeah, my eyes didn't work good. My mom was like, the Commandant's here to see you. And I told him, tell him, go fuck himself. And she went ghostly white because she knows who the Commandant is. And I was like, wait, what? And he was standing feet behind her. And I was just like, but yeah, he drew circles in the sand and left my room. And then a month later, I got a private tour of his house because it was General James T. Conway. He's a badass motherfucker. He's like 9 foot tall. I'd follow that man into the bowels of hell. He's so tall. He's like 6'7" or something. He's very tall. He was awesome. He was a wonderful leader too. And just a good down to earth dude for a freaking the highest ranking man in the entire Marine Corps.
Yeah.
Cause I've met a few at this point, which sounds braggadocious, but he was one of the raddest. But he was in the December of his tour. He was almost done. So he knew we were on all of the drugs. Like, so he didn't take it personally. He was just like, okay, because they had to tell me that shit. I only faintly, vaguely, sort of, kind of remember it. But get this, though. My unit found out I said that to him faster than they found out I survived. They thought I died for 2 weeks. They found that shit out in a week.
Oh my God.
I was like, this is some military ass bullshit. You wanted the Marines angry, so you thought their boy died. Like, so that they'd go murder late everybody. And then yeah, oh wait, he's alive. And then a week later, he told the Commandant, and I'm just like,
you wish he's fucking dead.
Yeah, by God. Yeah, he ain't gonna like that at all. Like,
we were at a NICO at Walter Reed. Okay. And
what's the NICO for the layman's?
Brain Injury Center.
I don't know what it means.
No. I just, what it's the building
center
is.
It's a center of excellence. Of that's it. Something.
Neurological center? Yeah. Yeah, either way. Go ahead.
It's been a while.
It's the building center for the brain injury folks.
Yeah. It's awesome. Awesome place. I mean, took care of our soldiers. I know where you're going with this. Anyway. But Keith's Army, and I mean, he was, you know, pretty flustered mentally when he first got home and everything.
He was on some drugs too.
And was on some medications.
Yeah, make sure you tell him I was on drugs. I know what you're about to tell them. Make sure they know I was on drugs.
So
everybody, Keith was on drugs.
So the story is, all the people there were like 03s, you know, the Army guys. I'm looking around and everybody there's captains. And I'm like, Christ, Tiana. Then I mean, these
I'm
people
in the wrong class.
Captains, and they're like 60. I know a captain was like colonel. Boy. I insulted Captain K to his face. It's like, Christ, what are you, 60 and you're only a captain? Yeah.
Was he a Mustang at least?
He's like, I'm a full bird.
Whoops.
Oh, my bad.
My bad.
Yeah, that's it. Oops. That is, honestly, dude, especially at the NICO and different places and different treatments like that, you can get away with that sort of shit.
Yeah.
Because I misspoke hard. My ex just reminded me of this over Easter. Oh gosh, one second. What do you need? That's awesome, buddy. Can you go out there and I'll talk about
it? He's doing the pee-pee dance.
I love you with all my heart. Nice, stimming. This is my son Damon. He's on the spectrum, so he that's one of the ways that he gets the crazy out. It's he makes him feel good. So he gets to hopping and stimming. Love Stim's it. Like, it's nobody's business, because it ain't. but why did I start talking? Shit. Oh, so we went to the Army-Navy game with, and I was with two of the guys I served with, but it was while we were at Walter Reed. They'd visited to D.C., my then wife, and the Sergeant Major who ran the Wounded Warrior Battalion East was there. He had a Purple Heart that I knew was from shrapnel damage he got to his torso. I wanted to know something very specific, and I wasn't all the way not on drugs, but I basically ended up asking him if he felt like he earned his Purple Heart.
Oh. Wow.
When ultimately, and he was Sergeant Major there, Zach. That's as high as you can go. That's as high as you can go enlisted. that's the top. He's been there, done that a long fucking time. I wanted to know if being around us ever made him doubt it, kind of thing. But I did not word it right. I basically asked him outright in front of other corporals and sergeants if he feels like he earned his Purple Heart.
Holy shit.
And I was just like, what do you mean by that? And I immediately was like, I've been asked that before. I just want to know what you would say if someone asked you that. And I was just like,
that's a solid recovery.
Yeah, I do. No, dude, I was proud of the recovery. And that's always my moral of the story. It was one of my slickest recoveries of all time. Because again, I wasn't trying to insult the man. I have deep, deep respect for this dude, even at that point. And I genuinely wanted to know if it affected if he thought he counted being around all of us. Like, and I shouldn't have asked it in front of everybody, first off. And second off, I should have worded it infinitely better. But yeah, it came out on a bus full of motherfuckers. And there was only one person there who outranked him, and that was his direct boss, the colonel who was in charge of the Wounded Warrior Battalion East. So yeah, and everyone else was fucking staff sergeants and corporals and fucking, yeah.
You feel like you earned your shit?
Yep. Oh, that happened.
You weren't.
But Navy won that game, so you know, go Navy, beat Army.
So being a branch of the, I know all the branches sort of talk shit on each other, but since you're the Marines are a branch of the Navy,
Department of, yes,
you still talk shit on the Navy though, right?
Of course we do.
But if the Navy's playing the Army, then you're in favor of the Navy, and you talk shit on the Army.
So there is reason for this. Okay, so separate from the football, we are all siblings who talk the shit.
You're right.
But with the football. The Navy team is from Annapolis, okay. The Naval Academy. And at the Naval Academy, they graduate Marine officers as well. So, okay. But it is the Naval Academy. So half of the dudes on that field are going to be Marine officers. Mm. I don't know about half, but a bunch of them. So they're not Marines yet, and they go to the Naval Academy, so they play for Navy.
I thought we had to go to Citadel for Marine. Okay. Mm-mm. Okay.
I think Citadel's y'all, ain't it?
Citadel. I thought that was Marine Corps.
I think you can go to the Citadel as a Marine, but it's not. It's like Harvard versus some of the other ones, kind of thing. Yeah. Like, yeah, if you went to the Naval Academy, you're the pinnacle. And I can't speak intelligently on that. I think the Citadel might be for all three. I know VMI is Army, the Virginia Military Institute, and of course West Point is all Army.
Yeah.
But yeah, so because it's a Department of the Navy, the Naval Academy, there's not a Marine Corps Academy. They train you aim for whichever branch you're going to graduate out and into.
Right.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And then, yeah, we're the men's department of the Navy, or, you know, they pay our bills and take us to the war. Or, like, it's just, you know, there's always comebacks to the whole, weren't you department of the Navy? And I'm like, don't we do your job in half the time with your hand-me-downs better?
I was gonna say, than you did it in the first place? You do get their bullshit hand-me-down weapons and shit.
Everything.
That's crazy.
The army breaks it thrice, gives it to us, and then we got to kind of hobo fix it and then try to make it work for 7 months. Jeez. I've crossed out U.S. Army and wrote USMC on stuff. Because there's not a thief in the military now. There's just one, and everyone's just trying to get their shit back.
That's funny.
And it's not thievery. It's just tactically acquiring.
Is there anything else we didn't cover, talk about with you, that you want to bring up or talk about while you're here?
Next time he'll feel better, he said.
Hell yeah. Next time she can pace in the background with the cool shadow. Your shadow was playing a part, dude. It was really cool. But like, yeah, next time she can pace and you can chat with us. I like it.
Crap, because I wasn't feeling good. That's fine.
Oh, yeah, no judgment at all, sir. I promise.
Yeah, no worries, man. Next time we'll kind of do a tentative schedule, and that way when he feels good, we can just hop on.
Yeah, y'all be like, let's go. He's got an hour and a half in him right now.
That's about how it works.
I like that. Well, yeah, I'm down with that. This one ended up having
it really is like, hey, I'm feeling good right now.
I was feeling good until about 20 minutes before, then I got all nervous and shit. I don't know why. That's just the way I am now.
It's a new thing. Everybody who comes on here gets a little nervous. I get it. It's a whole different. If you haven't done it, it's just different.
Public speaking is the number one fear in the entire world.
That's what they say. I've been telling her for 20 years, hey, let's join Toastmasters, and she don't want to. And this, see, if we would have done that all the years, I could have done
that. That would have made today better.
See, that's what I'm doing. It's your fault.
Jeez, the investment that you missed out on.
Well, it's strange. I can't remember who I was explaining this to the other day, where it's like, when I first started doing this, I was aware of the camera, and now I'm just aware of who I'm talking to. Like, you eventually sort of forget that there's anybody watching, and you're like, it's just us having a fucking conversation.
And that's,
when you're new, you're like, everybody's looking at me.
I like my setup, because I'm staring at y'all. Like, I'm not worried about what this thing's seeing. I'm staring at y'all the whole time.
God, that would be so off-putting if you stared at the fucking camera the entire time you talk.
But like that, though? Like that?
That's just your whole entire podcast.
Just don't blink. Don't make me do crazy eyes.
Blinky. No blinky.
Anyway.
No blinky. I don't know. What are we missing?
Are there any websites or anything you're trying to plug for all of your irons that are in the fire?
We'll come back with you when we have more of everything set in stone, ready to rock.
Yeah, we'd love to have everyone know about that for sure.
That'll be awesome. Yeah,
even if it's not, and we'll definitely have you back on, but even if it's like a week that you come out with that and you're not on that week, let us know. We'll still talk about it.
Yeah, I'm glad to be on like that. Like, that's cool.
He's good.
I'm just saying, like,
y'all would have a good time when he's feeling better.
Fuck yeah.
So.
I had a good time when he was feeling crappy. This is going to be my warm up for when he's feeling good.
Right? Exactly.
Well, yeah, by next time.
Hey, I can see what you're doing.
Now you guys know us, and it'll be even that much easier for you guys once you hop back on and all that.
Yeah.
It's a good time.
And I hope that the Sunday mustard thing goes well.
Thank y'all for what y'all are doing, bringing awareness to all this. And it's an important issue. And
And the reason we started our Sunday thing, we started it earlier this year. We had another suicide in our unit earlier this year, I think right at the beginning of the year. And we just started, me and the guys just started talking, and we've done it every Sunday. I think it's like our 12th Sunday.
Hell yeah.
Been keeping it going.
Yeah, we're building every single Sunday. Yeah, we're built
starting
in
a thing more. Out of it, you know. But it's just we're doing a big fundraiser. Guys, to talk, you know, because that shit's just sad, man.
And even if they don't talk, they see all these people who care,
right? Yeah. Right.
And know that if the demons come a knocking, they've got people who will give a shit.
That's let's go, because like I say, I don't know what happened. But we had like a 13-14 year.
You guys should really.
Fucking bird, dude.
That's a bird.
No, you mean someone's not typing vigorously on an old school typewriter in the background? Someone is not hot on a story.
Some bird saying, "Hey, wait, you didn't put me on camera."
Murder, She Wrote.
You got a fucking, you got a courtroom stenographer over there.
Yeah,
getting it. Your Honor, he said. Oh man,
I'm waiting for it to just start talking back and saying all the stuff that it hears.
What's the sound of artillery? And then he can go boom, boom. It's perfect.
Yeah, I think what you guys are doing, something you should encourage other people to, like, try to spread out to other people with that idea. That's a great idea.
I think 100%. We're doing good. I think it's going really well, and we're ready to open it up.
Yeah.
Kind of had to get
outside of the unit,
a little agenda down, like what we can, you know, kind of flow through everything. And
so we got plenty of people with resources too. So if there's anything we can do to help, not only that, but people that are watching and listening as well.
Y'all know 988, right?
What's that?
The 988 number, the mental health number.
I'm not familiar with it.
It works just like 911.
Yeah.
Cell phones.
You can call in anonymously, but it's just for mental health. It can be for the crisis line.
And it's 988. That's it.
Just 988.
Oh shit! Wow. I thought I was about to have to write down the whole number.
Yeah. No.
That's like, so there's 911, 411, and 988. Holy shit!
Mental health. Yeah, crisis. That's one of the things that I'm wanting to make sure we get out there.
Yeah.
You can call it and talk anonymously if you want, or, you know, you can tell them who you are and they can
help
you up with resources that are in your area. They can help you get crisis intervention there on the phone, you know.
Well, hell no. I'm so glad you brought that up. I had no idea.
Yeah, I didn't know about it either.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, it's been about a year and a half, I guess.
Okay, so at least I'm not 35 years behind.
No, you're not that far behind. You're not that far.
Like, the whole time?
Yeah. It seems they did a poor job of getting the word out, though.
Yeah, I was going to say. You know what I mean? Shit. Fuck. I'm about to do post.
So, I mean, it's a government thing, so.
Yeah.
So it might not be great, is what you're saying? Then Wait, 73 days.
It's the same government that spent $30 million advertising the new $20 bills.
That's what I was going to say. They should. They probably said they spent $1 billion advertising the shit. But yeah.
Which means zero advertising and $1 billion just disappeared into some other.
Yeah, I was on like two billboards in fucking Nowheresville for 3 days or something.
And why does it need to be advertised? He wondered quietly to himself.
They don't even, well, some people know about it. I don't know.
Won't they figure it out when they get one at the store or whatever?
Like, oh, you're still talking about the $20 bills. Yeah,
I'm wondering why would it even be advertised?
Right, exactly. Like, what do you, so you need don't to think advertise it, the $20 bill for?
I guess because depending on how different it is, you could, people wouldn't accept it
thinking
it's counterfeit fucking funny money. Because Canadian money looks like Monopoly money. Canadian money is colorful and looks like play money.
Could have saved a lot of money and put a tiny sign at the bank.
Yeah. Every
business that accepts dollars goes to the bank.
There's a lot of areas we need to be
better, stronger, faster.
Yeah.
Oops. Yes. We need to cut some of the fat away.
Yeah.
We'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, it should.
I won't get in. I'm trying to be good.
So well, you don't have to be good here.
Oh, you can say whatever the hell you want. I don't care. Last episode was a lot of religion. there ended up being a politics one too at one point.
Oh yeah, we did talk about religion a little bit, but not sanctimoniously.
Definitely not sanctimoniously. I like that word. That's a word points ass word.
It's triple word score. That's funny. All right, well, we'll do our wrap up. We'll let you go, and then we'll do our wrap up stuff.
Thank y'all so much.
Yeah,
next time,
Keith, feel better. We'll see you next time, dude.
We'll try. Yep.
You might have to leave the app open for a minute. It'll tell you once you exit out. You might have to leave the app open while it finishes uploading your end of things. So. All right. I think she left the whole thing open. They're going to have to listen to us talk.
Sounds good.
I think she can close it out, but not doesn't have to. Might have
I
to
think
leave
it's just frozen.
Open. Or it might be just frozen. Anyway.
Yeah, any hooser.
That's fun. It was almost like theatrically fun that Keith's in the background as the shadow's moving around and he's just piping in every once in a while.
Yeah, that was the best. That was cool for me. I liked that because the few times, and I doubt he was doing it on purpose, but the few times that he like spoke and had a whole like paragraph, the shadow was perfectly in frame. he was showing up. It was funny.
Like, hey man, we should just have him call in for a fucking 10-minute segment every episode where it's just a shadow on his voice in the background.
Yeah, that shadow theater shit he was doing was fucking awesome. And then I think he gave me the middle finger at one point. But I earned it, so it's good. For if anyone else thinks that's what he did, I earned it. It's fine.
Yeah, anybody that doesn't get the shit talk and camaraderie, that's how men love one another. You know what I'm saying? Even if you're not in the military, all my friends, we just talk shit.
Yeah,
my son, we talk shit. Like, I totally get it, man.
That's the difference. That's the metaphorical difference or whatever is mm-hmm. Men will talk shit to your face and always talk you up behind your back, and women will talk you up to your face and talk shit behind your back.
Damn, and that's
the dude friends versus the girlfriends dynamic. And I was like,
that's pretty profound.
Where's the lie?
Yeah, that's pretty profound, dude. I never heard that actually put together, but now that you say it, it's pretty wild. People are
that
fucking
and the 988. Holy crap, I can't believe that. Yeah, so there's a government mental health crisis number, 988. That is crazy. I'm so glad we know that now.
I was going to say this while she was on, but just didn't get to it. I like that you can be anonymous because coming from somebody who's been in some dark places where I probably needed to make that call, I wouldn't make that call if I thought it was going to get people showing up at my house.
Exactly. You know if you were nervous about, because you're already nervous about all these things anyways, and you don't want to broadcast it for any fucking reason. Yeah. The fact that you can be anonymous on it is a huge one, and especially on the male side of the house when everyone has a hard time separating their ego from it. Yeah. Being able to be anonymous I hope that 988, well, you can do it anonymously, people. Like if you are having problems, reach out, try to get help.
Yep.
Oh my gosh.
Going back to what you were saying last episode, we were talking about there should be nothing that you don't try.
Yeah. Every stone unturned.
Yep. Or every stone turned.
Yeah. It should absolutely be the very last thing. Like you literally can't try anything else.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. We also need to put together an SFH ad. I want to just put an ad up that we can
just
place.
Tag it on the end.
Yeah, yeah, or even in the middle or something. But
yeah,
until then, what's SFH got going on? I haven't even kept up lately.
We have an airsoft event coming up here in Jacksonville, 2 weeks coming up. And we are going to be in supporting that. We just did the Irreverent Warriors Veteran Suicide Prevention Hike, where we got to do our 50% and went straight back to them. And it rained hard, so we actually sold some of the golf towels. If anyone else wants to know what we're about, we are still fucking here. SFH, it is at wearsfh.com. And you can find a lot of our videos there that'll explain exactly what we're up to all the time. We have a newsletter up as well. And the shop, we got colors coming soon. We do only have black everything, but colors are coming soon.
I only do black everything, so I'm not excited about the colors, but I'm sure
a lot
some
of people don't do just black, man. Because I'm the same way. I like my black. You're never going. Yep. I'm not going to be super pumped about tanks and lighter colors unless they're tanks.
As long as there's still black, you know what I mean?
Oh, no, yeah, black's not going anywhere. Nothing
pisses me off more than when a band comes out with a new line of shirts and none of them are black. I'm like, what the fuck are you thinking?
especially on some of the genres, just like yeah. rock or metal or something, like that's kind of your go-to fucking people is wanting to wear black. Real.
Dude, have you ever heard the Cincinnati Reds announcer getting fired in the middle of the game?
No, sir.
I want to see if I can find it. Play it. It's
you want to pick this up real quick?
It's so funny, dude. It's so funny. Hold on. Copy. How do I do it? Copy. All right. Going through all my steps. So what's been going on with you lately?
You still on air?
Yeah, we're on air.
Nothing. Just hanging out. Kids, the dog. Started talking to a wonderful young lady. It's going really well so far.
I like it, dude. That's exciting news.
I'm pretty giddy myself. I don't think I could jinx it at this point, he says, while still knocking on wood. every little micro thing keeps just lining up in weird ways, and it's funny, and we're just giggling about it. And hell, Ryan, we've talked about him a few, my best friend.
Yeah.
Ends up, she's his sister's dear friend. Like, and there's a whole bunch of, like, her best friend ever now. I grew up four doors down from her husband. Like, just like, there's a bunch of weird little things that keep lining up that.
That's badass, dude.
I like that kind of rom-commy meet cutie type shit. Oh, it adds a lot of resonance to the situation for me.
Yeah. It's a little poetry, man. Because I know you know how hard it is to like find somebody that you want to spend a significant amount of time with, but you want to. I think men especially like need it. Like you need a woman in your life. You just
in a lot of ways I became the boy who cried wolf as well. I mean, because at the beginning it always seems fun.
Yeah.
And I would say that to our tight knit group there. Just guys this, guys that. And just like my mom just okay. I have to get over the initial excitement before I can bring my mom into the fold, and she won't just be like, "You said this last time, Tyler." But yeah. I think it all comes down to the fact that I can take hits and keep running. They're not to say that any one of the ones that didn't work didn't fucking suck. Like because I lean into things. If it's going well, I'm there. I'm not half in, half out. I try my best. I go hard.
Yeah, you should.
And not too, you know, I try not to be overbearing with any of it, but I guess it could come off that way sometimes. But, and I'm not trying to love bomb nobody either. I'm not a child about it, but I don't
love bomb.
I'm not half-assing any of this shit. So anytime I get like, and this one kind of came out of the blue, out of nowhere, it was a left fielder neither of us were looking for, but it just kind of worked out so far.
That's all.
And it's like quite promising, sir.
Hey, man. I'm happy for you. You deserve it.
Thank you
very much deserve it. All right. I got this clip ready.
All right.
We're going to watch this. So I'm going to give you a little backstory. This guy who was the announcer for the Reds is talking before the game, and he doesn't know that the mic goes live, and he says something pretty heinous. So a video kicks off right with him saying that.
Oh, no. And,
so he gets fired mid-game, fifth inning. He comes out and he's doing this apology and basically saying, "Well, I guess I'm never going to be on the air again, you know, whatever." And then stops mid-apology and calls a home run and then comes back in, and it's fucking hilarious, dude.
Can't not do his job.
Yeah, it's fucking great. Here we go.
That just means he's commentating who he is.
Three nothing ball game with the Reds in front of the Royals. We go to the top half of the fifth inning. Castellanos to lead things off. Jim Day's going to be taking us the rest of the way through this game as Holland takes over on the mound. I made a comment earlier tonight that went out over the air that I am deeply ashamed of. If I have hurt anyone out there, I can't tell you how much I say from the bottom of my heart, I'm so very, very sorry. I pride myself and think of myself as a man of faith, as there's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos. It will be a home run. And so that'll make it a 4-0 ball game. I don't know if I'm going to be putting on this headset again. I don't know if it's going to be for the Reds. I don't know if it's going to be for my bosses at Fox. I'm going to apologize for the people who signed my paycheck for the Reds, for Fox Sports Ohio, for the people I work with, for anybody that I've offended here tonight. I can't begin to tell you how deeply sorry I am. That is not who I am, and never has been. And I'd like to think maybe I could have some people that that could back that up. I am very, very sorry, and I beg
say it three more times
for your forgiveness.
Say it three more times.
Jim Dale, take you the rest of the way home.
Oh God, my eyes just went stupid too. Oh my God, bro,
that is so.
Oh God, oh wow, he went like he was going deep in that. I'm gonna try to sound sad part. And then line drives, as was revealed. It's going to be a home run. I am so very deeply sorry that home run. Oh my God. The literal dial flip was insane.
I consider myself a man of faith. Deep fly ball to left. My cop. That put the Reds up 4-0. I'm very, very sorry. Why Saturday Night Live didn't get a hold of that is beyond me.
Oh, dude. My God. That's wonderful. Thank you for making sure I saw that.
it was a few years ago, I think, so it's kind of slipped through the cracks already, you know?
Wow. Holy hell. Okay.
Where it just cuts in. He's like, one of the fag capitals of the world. And you're like, good God, man.
Yeah, like, this ain't Britain, so he ain't talking about cigarettes. Oh, damn. That was bananas. And then, it's funny that he said it. His normal talking to his homies in a horrible, terrible way sounds like radio. Like, he just,
one of the fag capitals of the world. And then he's like,
Reds, here on the
live.
He's been doing it so damn long, he just sounds like that.
Great. Like, imagine living your life as a strip club DJ. You know what I mean? Everywhere
Holy
you go.
Shit. Coming in hot. Sapphire.
He's on stage, too.
Funny. Huzzah. All right. Back to you, Zach.
Dude, that is just... I mean, you feel bad for him because you know his career's over. You know what I mean?
I guess I liked seeing that he was already an old ass man. So it's just kind of a.
Yeah.
He wanted to retire in the opposite of style, I guess. I don't like.
There's like, something. I know the dude's trying to save his job, but there's something so unsavory about such a ridiculous apology.
Well, like, and how I just said that thing before, to clarify, if it was a younger man doing it, I would, one, because the whole they're from a different time thing is horseshit. Like, you've been in the time the whole time the time's been timing. So, like, if I can walk and talk because it's no longer 1990, like, you can also train yourself to not say dumb shit like that where other people can hear you or at all. But if it was a young buck in, like, his first job ever, and like 2 years out of college, and he made a flub like that, I'd be more inclined to ultimately forgive and forget, and like he could learn from this and grow as a person, become better. That dude's like that. Like, he's
yeah, that's just wild, man.
There's no redeeming doing that shit in your 60s?
Well, and it's all about context too. Like, I definitely use the word when I'm joking with my friends, but I don't.
Well, yeah.
I don't say it in the context he was saying it in was clearly.
Yeah, hateful, it's always context and intent. Like, yeah, if you meant it derogatory. Like, but yeah, if we're just talking and I was just like, oh, we were trying to do this and it was shit was gay, like, and it was just, it was part of the describing of the story. And sometimes that can literally mean there were dicks and dicks around. Like, I mean, it, like,
yeah,
that's how I've described things to people. Oh, dude, it was gay. Like, pride on pride. Like,
it's, dude, it's like, you, in a sense, it's like using words like that takes the power away from the word when it's not used in a negative content or context.
Exactly.
I feel like people being so sensitive that you're not allowed to say them at all is silly. Because I did grow up saying retard and gay and shit like that, and yeah, never meant any, never to a person with that kind of intent. You know what I mean? It was just what you said and what you,
yeah. If something didn't go well,
right,
or went wrong,
right,
you could at the time culturally allowed say that shit was retarded, and no one would be like, oh my god, you deeply offended my neighbor's niece.
Yeah,
but. Like, now, again, it comes back to the growing with the growing. Like, if it offends enough people, I can work on it. But, like, well, again,
where you
again, don't come at me when you knew my context was not in order to make anyone feel smaller or less than.
Right.
Like, yes, I could have chosen a different word. Absolutely. You're not wrong. But you've got to admit that you know I wasn't saying anything negative.
Right.
Still. Like, yes, I need to work on my verbiage, but like there's different levels to it. Involuntary manslaughter versus murder, like there's also
another thing, humor. It's just to be funny, and sometimes you sit when you're, if you're a funny person or a comedian, even, you know, you're trying things,
yeah, like do it for a living,
right? You're taking a chance and going, I'm gonna say this and see if it's funny. And yeah, you may think it's funny, and the other people might also, or they might not. Sometimes you say
you find that,
needle drags,
and you're just like, oh shit, too far. Like,
yeah.
Or work on the setup or something. Like, you know, you've got to play with it.
Yeah, I've definitely found myself in that situation, and it's not that critical. And like, they're, you know, cancel culture thankfully is on the downswing, but as we were talking about last episode. Mm-hmm. But it's still one of those things where it's like, if the right person or the wrong person hears a certain thing, then they're going to come at you. And I'm like, at this point, I'm like, I would love it. It'd be all the press we needed to.
Well, anything that you'd find or have proof of me saying, I would own it.
Of course.
And I will tell you outright that I am no more that person now than you are right now. Like, I'm ashamed that I ever thought that way or ever spoke that way. But I'll tell you right now, the 20-year-old me that you found saying it, he said it. Like, you got to wear what you earn, but shit, like, you also don't need to burn people down for something that they've clearly grown and moved on from.
Right.
But I'm not running around being some fucking bigot, offending everyone, making everyone upset. Yeah. I run around all day trying to make people smile and laugh. So if I fuck up doing that, it's a loss. It's not me fucking trying to get under your skin.
Right. No, but to go back to connect that to the apology he gives, it's like if he were to come on and say, look, you know, I said something that I understand was kind of taken out of context. You didn't, you know, I shouldn't have said it that way. Like, he could have said the apology in a lot more authentic way. It just
more,
felt like
far more genuine. Begging.
Right. Just felt like he was begging for his job and like, I would consider myself these things. I would never, but dude, you said it so fluidly because you say it, and that's fine. If that's what you do, just own it and be like, yeah, you know, I'm joking and I said something that was off color. I apologize if it offended you. You know, I joke about things. Some, you know what I mean? Like, there's
it
so
wasn't
many ways
my intent to, yeah.
Right. Where it's not this disgusting, like, let me suck ass and act like I've never done anything like this because I'm a family man and a man of faith. Like, get the fuck out of here.
Because I end up having a lot more respect for the people who are like, I fucked up.
Yeah.
At this time, this day and time, like, there's a couple actors recently who've come out saying, like, you specifically were very hard blue last time and are like, definitely not going to be blue this time. And are just like, since then, I've learned this, this, and that. And this is why I feel this way now. And like, and I feel as though I've woken up to X, Y, and Z. And it's just like, boom, articulating your points, growing as a person, admitting that you were wrong as far as you're concerned, even if the world doesn't think you're right yet or at all. Like, you're admitting you were wrong and that you've grown. Kudos. Like, big props to all those people for sure. Anyone who can do that, who can swallow their pride and say, I fucked up, learning has occurred, I will do better in the future.
Yeah, you know, when I get that a lot of motivation for people to choose to act like that and is fear. They're fearful of what's going to happen. But I'm like, I think more people will respect you for authenticity and honesty than they will for saying the right words. I think that's the world we live in now.
I would say Keanu Reeves isn't the most beloved motherfucker in Hollywood because of the amount of Oscars he has.
Right.
It's how he treats people and the words out of his mouth.
Yeah. I'm sure he said some silly shit. Yeah. I'm sure he said some dumb shit. I'm sure he says fucked up shit behind closed doors, and it doesn't make him a bad person.
Mm-mm. He's still going to be a single one, Jay.
Right on, man. Well, good epi. We got a couple more guests lined up. Still trying to get that musician on. He hasn't responded to me lately, so I don't know if he's not doing it or what the deal is, but still got a couple other people Lance hit me with, so we're probably due for another just Zach and Ty show before long, too.
For sure, for sure.
I enjoy those.
At your leisure, sir.
So thank you guys again for sticking with us and watching the episodes. We love all the feedback that we get, or any feedback is invited, both negative and positive. So we want to grow and stick with this for a good long time. I love it, man. Like, it frustrates me sometimes, and sometimes I'm not as excited to do it as others, but I always am happy at the end that I did it.
What he said.
But, Cash App, Polk Podcast, with no S on the end, podcast. Feel free to donate if you feel so inclined to do so.
Mm-hmm. And if you're looking for more SFH, wearesfh.com.
Hell yeah, man. Thankfully, we're still fucking here.
Thankfully, you are too.
That's right.